Hello, I'm Freema, and for tonight's sleep story, we return to the Kingdom of Lionwood for a fairy tale called Serenity of the Sea. So let your eyes close and your breath slow as we journey to a long ago time and a faraway land. Once upon a summer night, a majestic rainstorm descended on the Kingdom of Lionwood. Magnificent waves crashed up against the beaches and bluffs that wrapped around the coastline. Warm winds blew in from the west, billowy clouds gathered in the skies, and rains showered down on every corner of the vast and plush island. It rained upon the woodlands of the north, where foxes found shelter in tree trunks. It rained on the orchards of the south, where sparrows took cover in tool sheds. It rained on the meadows of the east, where horses held fort in hay-filled stables. And it rained on the wheat fields of the west, where rabbits retreated to underground burrows. In the village, nestled in the center of the valley, the rain pattered down on straw-covered stables and slate rooftops. It washed against stone walls and drizzled down cobbled streets. In every dwelling, villagers shuttered windows, climbed under blankets, and settled in to enjoy the symphony and spectacle. And in the middle of the village, in a lofty turret rising up from the castle, young Princess Abigail cozied by a crackling fire. She gazed out across the valley, listening to the soothing rumble of thunder over the mountains, and watching the peaceful downpour fall upon hills and fields. So it was that the Kingdom of Lionwood rode out the most breathtaking storm it had seen in many years. Early the next morning, the island awoke to a calm and sunny day. Animals across the land emerged from their burrows and hideaways. Birds sang from tree branches, rejoicing in the stillness of daybreak. Far on the outskirts of the island, in the foothills of the mountains on the western coast, there lived a young boy named Nathaniel, who was the son of a falconer. He and his mother, who was known as Madeline the Falconer, lived far from the bustle of the village, in a small home overlooking the sea, surrounded by ancient evergreens that grew like grass up the mountainside. Nathaniel was light and spry, with a glint in his eye, an earnest look, and a curious mind. On this tranquil morning, Nathaniel had arisen early and was hiking along a cliff over the sea. His feet crunched on damp twigs and fresh pine needles as balmy waves frothed up against the rocky shore below. Perched on his shoulder was a baby falcon named Feather. She was an adorable puff of downy feathers, beige on her wings and white on her belly. One day, she would swoop above trees and soar among clouds. But on this morning, Feather was still just a baby bird. She could perch and chirp, but could neither swoop nor soar. As Nathaniel walked along the cliff, he and Feather observed the remnants of the storm, which had toppled old trees, overflowed streams, and washed a tangle of driftwood up on the shore. Suddenly, as Nathaniel looked at the winding coastline, he saw something quite unexpected indeed. It was a ship, a glorious sailing ship that appeared to be washed up on the rocks. "Look, Feather," he said, "that ship must have come in with the storm." He walked along the cliff and looked below to the ship. An impressive vessel, but gravely damaged. Its hull was cracked, its three tall masts broken, its sails tattered. The craft was tilted over on its side, and its cargo lay strewn across the rocks. Barrels, crates, and a treasure chest. He searched for a way to get down to the ship, but the cliff was too steep, and there wasn't a way to climb down. "Hello down there," Nathaniel called. "Is there anyone aboard?" But not a sound came forth in return. The great ship just lay on the rocks, as if asleep in the morning sun. "Can you fly down and take a look?" Nathaniel said to Feather. She chirped a hopeful chirp. So he held out his forearm and placed her on top of it. "Come, my little one," he said. "I believe in you." Feather readied her fluffy wings, hunched back on her little legs, and wiggled her tiny tail. She leapt up, fluttered her wings with a few spirited flaps, but she dropped back down on Nathaniel's arm, grounded and discouraged. "That's all right, Feather. You'll be skyward soon enough," he said. And he kissed his dear bird on her soft head. He noticed fancy white letters painted across the hull of the ship. "S.S. Seren," he read aloud. But the rest of the name was lost to a broken piece of wood. "That's Serenity, my dear boy," said a cheerful voice. Nathaniel looked down to the shore, and to his surprise, a man emerged from the treasure chest on the rocks. He wore navy slacks and a white shirt, and he was holding the piece of wood that completed the ship's name. I-T-Y. "It's got a better ring to it, don't you think?" said the man. His hair frazzled and clothing rumpled. Nathaniel smiled at the sight of this intriguing fellow, who was in good humor for having just awoken in a box at the edge of the sea. Nathaniel introduced himself as a falconer in training, and Feather as, well, his falcon in training. "It's an honor, my good lad," said the man. "My name is Kemba the Explorer, and it appears I blew in last night with the storm." "You must have quite the story," said Nathaniel. "Help me ashore and I shall tell you it," replied Kemba. The explorer reached for a rope and climbed up the ship's front mast, which was tilted over and pointing towards the cliff. He arrived at the top of the mast, tied the rope to it tightly, and threw the other end to Nathaniel, who tied it to the nearest tree. Kemba swung across the rope carefully and arrived at the top of the cliff beside Nathaniel. "Can't thank you enough, dear boy," he said. The cheerful explorer shared his story. He had spent 20 years voyaging the seas in search of a place to settle down. He had explored many lands, but never found the perfect place to call home. There was always something that just wasn't right. A winter too cold, an absence of gold, or a lack of interest in stories well told. Kemba looked to his ship and sighed with sadness. For how could his travels continue with his vessel in such woeful disrepair? "I have an idea," said Nathaniel. "This is the kingdom of Lionwood. Our winters are cold, and we haven't much gold, but we're an island known for its kind-heartedness. If we share your predicament with the people in the kingdom, I'm sure they will help repair your ship." Kemba the explorer smiled a grateful smile. He agreed that this was a marvelous idea. Feather chirped an agreeable chirp, and so it was decided that the Kingdom of Lionwood would help a wayward explorer return to the seas. By lunchtime, they arrived back at Nathaniel's cozy home above the sea. On the veranda, they greeted Nathaniel's mother, Madeline, who was training a stunning falcon, grey-winged and white-breasted, with golden talons and chestnut eyes. Nathaniel shared the story of the SS Serenity and his idea to rally the kingdom to repair it. "You have a worthy idea, my love," said Madeline. "But I'm afraid everyone in the kingdom is busy cleaning up after the storm. All across the island, there are pathways to be cleared of fallen branches and gardens to be cleaned of stray leaves." "But Mother," Nathaniel said, "you've always told me that there is one thing that makes Lionwood so special. Our kind-heartedness." Madeline could see that her son was onto something. "And you, my dearest, seem to be the most kind-hearted of them all," she said. "All right, you may go on your adventure, and count me in as your first volunteer." Nathaniel gave his mother a jubilant hug and a kiss on her cheek. He shared a smile with Kemba, and the two agreed on their plan. After lunch, they would trek across the island, signing up volunteers along the way. "By the end of the day," said Kemba, "we'll surely have enough volunteers to rebuild the ship." The three then sat down for a delectable lunch on the veranda. As Kemba entertained his hosts with stories of far-flung lands and fascinating people, Nathaniel and Madeline hung on his every twist, turn, and jest. Later that afternoon, Nathaniel and Kemba set off across the kingdom, with Feather stationed on Nathaniel's shoulder. They journeyed along a narrow ridge through the mountains until the lush valley in the center of the island came into view. And resting in the very middle was the village, enclosed in stone walls, the magnificent castle rising up from its center. With the sun now high in the afternoon sky, a welcoming light shone across the island. "What did I tell you?" said Nathaniel. "In Lionwood, we do have blustering rainstorms, but there's always a beautiful day, a sunrise away." Just then, Kemba noticed a poster nailed to a guidepost, its message handwritten across parchment paper. "What's this?" he said, studying the bulletin. "Royal Talent Show. Auditions in the village this afternoon." "How delightful," replied Nathaniel. "Perhaps we can catch the show tonight, after filling our list of volunteers. Come now, dear explorer. There's a whole kingdom just waiting to hear your story." And so it was that a great explorer, the son of a falconer, and a baby bird embarked across the island, intent on rebuilding the Serenity. Nathaniel led Kemba across the valley as they wove a winding path towards the village. They happened upon many citizens and asked each to join the volunteer effort. They met with a carpenter who was fixing a fence in the meadow. They met with a blacksmith who was repairing a weather vane in her workshop. And they met with a wheelwright who was busy thinking about wheels. Everyone was charmed by the explorer and his tales from abroad. Each offered a contribution to the cause. Some wood, some steel, a wheel. But none was able to volunteer. It seemed the entire kingdom was simply too busy. After hours of canvassing across the land, Nathaniel and Kemba took a break in the marshlands. They sat side by side on a fallen log that lay across the bank of a pond, which was speckled with lilies and surrounded by trees. The afternoon breeze was cool and fresh, and a ray of sunlight shone through the trees and glimmered off the water. Tired and glum, they pondered what to do next. "We haven't a single volunteer," said Kemba. "What are we to do?" Just then, a turtle emerged from the water. A beautiful green creature with yellow stripes down the sides of her face, and a tiny tail poking from her ancient shell. She shuffled up onto a rock with her green little feet. "I'm sorry to intrude," the turtle said, "but I overheard your quandary, and I wonder if I can help." "It's no intrusion at all," said Nathaniel, and he introduced himself, Kemba and Feather. The turtle introduced herself as, well, a turtle. She explained that this pleasant pond had been her home for more years than she had bothered to count. Kemba recounted the whole story of their mission to rebuild the Serenity. The turtle thought for a lengthy moment, and then she proposed an idea. "If you presented this idea to Her Majesty the Queen, perhaps she would order a royal volunteer effort to rebuild your ship," she said. "The Queen is responsible for the coast and the sea, so only she can decide on such a thing." "Marvelous," Kemba said, but Nathaniel wasn't so sure. "But I don't know the Queen," he said. "I've never been to the castle. How would we ever present this idea to Her Majesty?" "Tonight in the village, there is the royal talent show," said the turtle, "and I believe the Queen will be in attendance. If you wish to get Her Majesty's attention, you could audition for the show." "That's a splendid idea," said Nathaniel, "and I have just the audition in mind." "I wish you great success," said the turtle. "Now if you'll excuse me, I'm due for my afternoon swim." Everyone said their goodbyes to the turtle, and with a new spark of hope, they made their way toward the village. Nathaniel led Kemba across fields, under trees, and over streams. Along the way, Feather took a nap inside the explorer's bag. Eventually, they reached the stone walls of the village and entered under the arching front gate. They walked through the town square, which bustled with townspeople. Merchants traded grains and spices. Tailors sewed suits of fine cloth, and cooks, bedecked in white gowns, marched about with baskets of grapes and mint. The trio weaved through the crowds and arrived at the royal stables, covered with a conical rooftop made of straw. Inside, a young girl sat behind a table, and beside her was a sign that read, "Auditions." She wore a purple dress and a silver crown, and she appeared to be packing up and about to leave. "Are we too late to audition?" asked Nathaniel. "I suppose not," replied the girl, who presented herself as Princess Abigail. "And what is your talent?" she inquired. "Your Highness," Nathaniel said with a bow, "I am a falconer, and this here is Feather, the youngest baby falcon to ever take flight." "How positively interesting," said Abigail. "May I see a demonstration?" Nathaniel pulled Feather from Kemba's bag and placed her on his forearm. "Come, my little one," he whispered. "I believe in you." Feather readied her fluffy wings, hunched back on her little legs, and wiggled her tiny tail. She leapt up, fluttered her wings with a few valiant flaps, but once again she dropped back down on Nathaniel's arm. "Don't be discouraged, Feather. You'll be skyward soon enough," said Nathaniel. And he kissed his dear bird on her soft head. "I'm terribly sorry, Princess," he said. "But it seems we don't have a talent, after all." He placed Feather back in Kemba's bag and turned to leave. But then he thought of something. "Wait a moment," he said, turning to Kemba. "You're quite a talented storyteller. What if you told a story?" "I suppose I could try," said Kemba. He thought for a moment and decided on a story to tell as an audition. He told the princess about the time he met a rainbow buzzard in the hot springs of Montehavi. Abigail was most entertained, and she agreed to enter Kemba into the talent show. They would have an audience with the queen, after all. Later that night, people from all across the island of Lionwood poured into the town square to revel in the talents of the kingdom. They filled every seat in every row, and even the balconies surrounding the square. On stage, in the center of the square, Princess Abigail hosted the event, introducing performance after performance. There were singers and jugglers, magicians and acrobats. There was a woman who danced on stilts, and a donkey who'd been trained to play checkers. With the king seated by her side, the queen enjoyed the show from the very front row, applauding graciously after each performance. Finally, the time came for the very last performer. Princess Abigail introduced him as Kemba the Storyteller, and he shuffled to the stage. Kemba paused for a nervous moment as hundreds of people looked up at him. But when he took a deep breath and began to speak, his wonderful storytelling sprang forth. Spectators sat on seat edges as Kemba strode across the stage, telling his tale. He told of an exotic land, a bottomless well, and an encounter with a friendly elephant. Every moment was enthralling, every detail dazzling. When he finished, spectators rose to their feet with applause. Even the queen and king stood and applauded with great appreciation. Nathaniel stepped to the stage, where he and Kemba stood before the Queen and King. "Your Majesty," he said as he bowed, "this great storyteller is also a great explorer, and he needs our help." Nathaniel explained the story of the damaged ship, the explorer adrift, and the idea to rebuild the SS Serenity. Then he waited as the Queen paused, perked an eyebrow, and contemplated. Just then, Princess Abigail arrived on stage, stood beside Nathaniel and Kemba, and turned to face the Queen. "If you should agree to rebuild the Serenity, my dear mother, I wish to volunteer." All eyes turned to the Queen as she stared off into the distance, deliberating peacefully. "I have decided," she began, "that we shall send this explorer back to the seas with a new story to tell. One of the kind-hearted people of Lionwood. We shall rebuild the Serenity." A chorus of cheers spread across the village town square. Nathaniel and Kemba celebrated as Feather chirped a triumphant chirp. After a trying day, their hard work had paid off. The next day, back on the western coast, support arrived by the wagon, bushel, and bundle. Volunteers brought planks of wood and coils of rope. They donated crates of food and barrels of water. They repaired the ship's hull and deck, its masts and sails. They repainted SS Serenity across the vessel's side. They even built a wooden staircase winding down from the cliff to the shore, and a narrow dock reaching out from the rocks to the ship. By late evening, the great rebuilding was complete. The ship arose from the water, tall and grand, its hull bobbing gently in the rising tide, sails rippling softly in the summer wind. Everyone stood on the cliff overlooking the ship, waving goodbye to Kemba as he walked down the dock and prepared to board. Scores of volunteers gathered on the cliff to say goodbye. Among them were Madeline the Falconer, Princess Abigail, and the Queen and King, who all waved wistfully, sad to see Kemba go. Nathaniel stood with Feather on his shoulder, smiling warmly to his sea-bound friend. Just when Kemba turned to wave goodbye, he looked up to the cliff, up to Nathaniel's shoulder, where Feather appeared to be readying her fluffy wings. She hunched back on her little legs and wiggled her tiny tail. Then she leapt up, fluttered her wings with a few mighty flaps, and suddenly she took flight and began to glide down in a graceful arc, swooping down toward the dock. Everyone watched as she soared down toward Kemba, pulled up with a few quick flaps, and landed right in his arms, like a ball of feathers dropping in a basket. Feather beamed, Kemba smiled, and Nathaniel stood on the cliff, glowing with pride, like a lighthouse shining in the night. Kemba looked up to the people of Lionwood, lined up across the cliff. "You know," he called up to them, "for years I've traveled the seas in search of the perfect land, but I couldn't imagine ever finding a place with people as wonderful as you all. So I've decided to stay right here in the kingdom of Lionwood." Cheers erupted among the volunteers, and celebrations began. The Queen proclaimed that Kemba would be made royal storyteller, and Kemba decided to make the SS Serenity his official storytelling theatre, which would remain docked on the island's western shore. Well into the night, everyone celebrated on the deck of the great ship, telling stories and feasting on food as the sun disappeared where the sky met the sea. Later that night, when celebrations had died down and volunteers returned to their dwellings, the shimmering stars appeared in the sky over Lionwood. In his cozy home above the sea, Nathaniel looked out his window, gazing at rolling waves, coasting clouds, and shining stars. A little ways down the coastline, he saw the SS Serenity, docked safely, teetering gently in the water and wind. He blew out the candle on his bedside table and climbed under the covers of his bed as a summer breeze sailed in through the window. Snuggling safe and warm, his breath soft and deep, he drifted off to the comfort of an adventure resolved, and the soothing sound of the waves not far below his window as they gently washed up on the rocks. And so it was that a great storyteller found his home. A baby falcon learned to soar, and a young falconer fell sound asleep over peaceful waves under shimmering stars.